All right, everybody, welcome back to another Productivity Like a Pro podcast. Today, we talk to Dan Huru, who is the founder and CEO of MeetGeek. And MeetGeek is a tool that Paco and I are both using, and in the paperless movement and the team, using it to summarize our meetings for more than a year already. And we integrated it with ClickUp. We are synchronizing the meetings with ClickUp there as well, and we're leveraging. So there's a lot of videos and other content that we talked about this already, and also the reason why we are using MeetGeek over others. And now we are happy that we have Dan with us, because we want to dive a bit deeper into the roadmap, the vision, and what we can expect in the future from MeetGeek. Dan, welcome to the show. Let us hear about yourself and why you came up with yet another summarizer.
Hi guys, thank you for the invitation. It's a pleasure to talk with you. Why another summarizer? It goes a bit back to why we started MeetGeek in the first place. Let's say my background is a technical one. I was a software engineer, and then I also was an engineering manager in a few companies where I was a part of developing products and part of a lot of automation projects, where we are basically developing solutions to automate operational tasks. So in this context, I started to realize there is a lot of meeting waste as compared to the actual tasks. So it goes back to the original idea why we started MeetGeek, because we thought it is a very big problem and we could apply the skills that we have in automation and the technical skills as well as the AI skills to solve a part of the problem. And the idea was to develop a tool that complements the learning part. So you will have the typical organization. Imagine the typical organization where you have, let's say, middle management or upper management that, you know, there are all sorts of programs that and trainings that people in a company will do. And those trainings are very good. Or maybe if they don't do trainings, they will read some books. And they will try to apply some meeting habits in their daily work. But our, let's say, one of the assumptions that we have made is that this is not something that can be, habits are very difficult to change, right? So it's very hard to just do a training and then apply the habit. You need a complementary tool to be able to enforce that habit in the long run. So that's why we actually started to do MeetGeek, to basically try to influence the meeting culture of a company. So not just doing a transcription or a summary, but basically evolving it into this area of meeting productivity, collaboration, and trying to understand how you run your meetings and how you can make them better. So the original idea is very tied to the vision of the company, since that's basically what we are trying to achieve with MeetGeek, to be able to influence and upgrade the culture, the meeting culture of a company, helping them being more transparent with the way they share information from meetings, helping them be more effective on how they operate their meetings and how they can save time, skip optional meetings, or have, you know, better meetings all in all.
Yeah, that's an amazing approach. I think we tested other tools like Fireflies, for example, and having such a strong mission behind this tool makes already for the direction where how to develop the tool or what direction you go for the development. So one strong point for MeetGeek is, and well, this is not sponsored, this video, right? So one strong point is the templates inside MeetGeek, that you can set up meeting templates for certain meetings. Maybe you want to explain a bit more what's about this, and I think that's really a differentiator to other AI summarizers.
Yeah, sure. My pleasure. So the meeting templates are designed to be able to allow you as an individual or a team to personalize the output and personalize the behavior of MeetGeek in a call. And the basic underlying idea is that you recognize that no meeting is the same, and the output you expect from a meeting is going to be different depending on the role and on the type of meeting that you have. Additionally, you will have probably a different context, a different company with different abbreviations, a different setup. So the key to having an accurate summary or an accurate, let's say, list of highlights is more related to how relevant it is for you rather than how accurate it is. Summarization algorithms are already like pretty accurate. It's kind of like state of the art right now. So it goes more into how relevant they will be for you as an individual, but also as a team. So basically with templates, you can define how the summary should look like and then how the interpretation of the meeting, let's say what KPIs from the meeting you want to track. KPIs like the level of engagement, the speaker ratio, and other examples. We do have a lot of templates which are validated with experts from the industry. which you can adopt instantly in your calls.
Yeah, these are great. And you just mentioned the KPIs there, and they're really interesting insights as well. Also, how positive or negative was the talk, and how much silence was in the meetings and things like that. That's really interesting to see as well. So it is already very comprehensive in MeetGeek. I cannot envision right now anything else that I would miss in such a tool. As I said, compared to other tools, it's already way ahead. Also, the integration when it comes to synchronizing to other platforms, I think key is, for example, you can have it as Google Docs, and therefore they are easy searchable, also cross-platform, as for example, ClickUp also searches in Google Docs, but also synchronizing to other tools like ClickUp and all this. So everything is really there to build up to move the summary to a single source of truth. Because what I see, for example, for the Zoom AI summarizer, the native one, well, you get an email with the summary, and then what do? Do you need to do manual work and then move things over? And it became already so common again that everything is summarized that you're not even looking at these summaries anymore. But by leveraging these templates, you can really make a lot more sense into this. As you said, for the different type of meetings, you could have then a different setup, and then you have a different structure of the summary. And that's really amazing, I think. So what else can we expect? And one question in this regards would be, I think so far MeetGeek was running on GPT 3.5 Turbo or whatever. And I don't know if you switch to GPT-4 for more accuracy and better outcomes, or are there any plans in this? And what else do you have on your list?
First of all, I would like to double down on what you just previously added with the integrations. And one very important thing that we do with companies is we always help them discover what kind of automation flows they can enable with MeetGeek. So using a combination of very fine-grained integrations, templates, and other settings, they can define different workflows depending on the department that we are speaking with or on the role that we're designing the work for. That's a very important part. Now, talking about the AI tech, specifically the AI, we like to think ourselves as not just an AI platform, as more as an infrastructure platform, where we, of course, leverage AI on top of the infrastructure to be able to generate quality output. We do use a combination of in-house AI algorithms, some parts of GPT-3 to be able to deliver the output that you were mentioning. But we do personalize a lot of output depending on the context. So that's why I call them a hybrid, because it's a system of AI algorithms that is working to produce that output. Of course, we are evaluating to introduce GPT-4 as part of this system to be able to improve the accuracy. And it's probably going to happen in the second part of this year.
Anyway, I'd like to add that for me, the summaries that we receive are simply impressive. I don't know how many tools Tom has just said. Well, hundreds. Well, I think that the well-knowns and the unknowns, okay? And talking about summaries, because, well, our audience, busy professionals, and for them, meetings, as you may guess, are crucial. And I think that there are two key points talking about MeetGeek. The first one are the quality of the summaries, because we have tested a lot of different meetings to see if the outcome was really, well, at least decent, okay? Because there are some others that say, man, if I receive this summary coming from a meeting that I have not attended, well, what a mess, okay? What a mess about the conclusions that I can draw. But talking about MeetGeek, the accuracy for me, it's amazing. And the second part is the integration, because, for instance, you know, people tend to ask us a lot about where do I store my meeting notes and all that stuff. And for me, it has to be always related or linked to the object that is related to. I mean, if it's a project, it should be in a project. If it's a task, it's a task. And this integration, for instance, with project management tools like, for instance, ClickUp in our case, or messaging tools, because for me, when I receive your summaries on Slack, for instance, for me, it's really nice because I'm on mobile, on the go, I can have a quick look, no matter that I know that it's already linked on ClickUp, so that later on, whenever I'm back at the office on desktop, I can, well, analyze everything. And also the connection with these tools that Tom has just said, like Google Docs or any project management like ClickUp, it makes the content searchable. And I think that that's something that people appreciate a lot, because you are missing many things talking about meetings. And also I think that having a tool that you can trust on makes you stay more relaxed during the meeting, you know, because you are not paying attention to jotting the things down, but paying attention to what really matters at that meeting, that is interacting, have been focused on the conversation. And I think that this type of tools, and once again, how important it is to see the vision behind a software company, because it says it all, you know. Coming from the outside, you can say, well, that's another summarization tool that you can use to summarize your meetings, and that's it. But the vision that you have shared with us says it all, why we find certain features in your tool that no other tool has thought about. And I think that that's pretty important. That's why we like to double down on these type of things during our interviews, because I think that it's how people, especially professionals, you know, because we are not talking here about people who information is not so relevant, okay? This is about business, about being productive, about not wasting time, and in fact, earning it. And I think that your approach is simply impressive, and I have to congratulate on you, because the product is amazing, and it's, well, it's being able to beat any of all the things that we do to software that is trying to look for failures or breaking points or whatever. And I have to say that it's pretty solid. I don't know how old this company and the product is, but it's impressive from my point of view.
Thank you. We started in 2020.
Okay.
Well, there we go. So you started development, or you launched it in 2020?
Development. We launched it commercially in 2022.
Well, then we use it since day one, then it's That's it. Well, and we try to kill it. That's what we always do. We try to kill the tool, all the tools that we use. We have a pretty defined tool stack thanks to our iCore framework. And we keep trying. Whenever a shiny object comes around, a new shiny tool, we try to kill our current tool stack. And there we know exactly everything is as it should be. And well, we tried to kill MeetGeek many times, but MeetGeek killed the others, if you want to say that. Yeah, so congratulations on this. It's really great.
Thank you. Just wanted to add another thought to the discussion. So one other principle, I would say, that we try to apply into the roadmap in general and to the philosophy of the tool is 100% automation. So zero touch, if possible, whenever possible. So we try to come up with solutions that involve less interventions from you, the user, and try to make the tool adapt itself to your situation. So this goes into many directions, but just to give an example, we are planning to trying to detect more about your context and trying to apply the relevant template, trying to recommend or suggest workflows, and trying to like tell you like what can you do more in your setup, in your context with MeetGeek. So we try to embed that into the product and educate the users and teams to use it at the maximum potential.
That's amazing. Yeah. I mean, automating this context, that's something I was about to suggest, and now you're saying it, because having all these templates is nice and all, but having then the setup process and knowing where, how to set, you have to have somebody who understands the tool again. But having AI who gets the context and then picks the best based on keywords or whatever that I can set up in these templates, that's amazing. I guess also to the summaries, I can change the template afterwards. That's possible.
Yeah.
I can apply it. It's already available. So even if AI picked the wrong one, which might happen, then you can still adjust it. And well, that's an amazing direction you're going there.
Yes. Another example is trying to automatically detect the language. So right now we support over 30 plus languages, but you still need to like define before the call or during the call. So that's something that we are also working on, to be able to automatically detect the language if you are in that situation, and many, many people are in that situation. So,
So is it also during the call then? So if the language switches during the call?
Also during the call, yes.
Well, that would be amazing, you know, thinking about our meetings with Paco when he talks then to one of his employees in Spanish and then switching back to English. Well, then I will just keep talking German and you will know what I meant. Yeah.
And, talking about the corporate world, that is where we are falling, two questions. Then one is talking about privacy, because you got access to meetings, recordings, and all the stuff that it's, well, quite sensitive, I would say. And the second one is about the company, your current staff, the future, how backed you are, talking about financial future and all that stuff, so people and companies especially can trust on your product and services. What can you tell us about that?
Sure. So privacy first, one of my favorite topics. So there are two answers here, let's say two ideas. One is the technical one and one is the approach, let's say. So from a technical perspective, we are certified SOC 2 type GDPR and HIPAA. We also have medical services being operated into the platform. And we do work with a lot of customers. We are present in over 100 countries right now. And we take very seriously from a technical perspective. We work with partners for compliance. So we do have all the setup in place to ensure that we are up to date with the latest security practices and with the latest privacy practices. From an approach perspective, our business model is entirely based on subscriptions. So we have no incentive to access the data or use the data for training purposes or sell the data in any way for ads or anything like that. So we don't operate like that. Unless there is a customer or a company that requests us to use the data in any way to optimize their experience, that sometimes happens. But as per our strategy and business model, we don't use the data in any way. And when we train the AI to be better, we always use public data or anonymized data. We don't use the customer data for that. So I think that would be the main takes on privacy. And about the status of the company from a financial perspective, what I can say is that, like I previously mentioned, we are already global and present in a lot of countries, a stable platform. We process over 500,000 meetings per month, for example. So that's a big number, and you need a very stable platform to be able to process that amount of data and securely process it and also deliver the same experience, the same quality experience for everyone, right? Financially, we are backed by venture capital companies, but at the same time, we kind of operate with a more conservative business model, meaning that, I don't want this to sound strange, we always have healthy financial numbers and we look at these KPIs. We try to have a profitable business model, not just a venture-backed company, which might be risky or might present some risks of dying in a few months. So we don't want to be like that. We want to offer a service that is stable and on the long run for our customers.
And this is something that I'm curious, because I've always believed in, well, I'm managing currently 4 different businesses, okay? And I have always believed in bootstrapping a business, okay? I have never thought about, venture capitalism and things like that. And the point is, I can see how in software that it seems that it was impossible to create a profitable software business. Okay. Now everybody's starting to say, and well, I have to say, I don't know. I think, Tom, someday we need to check our tool stack and detect the companies that are bootstrapped versus the ones we have been trusting for years in those companies, and none of them have disappeared or whatever, and they are trustable companies that generate profit, and that's something that it's doable. And I'm really happy about that, because the moment that you fell in love, I would say, with a tool and it disappears overnight, it's a really painful experience, and especially in the business area. So congratulations for that too.
Yeah, absolutely. That's good to know. And yeah, you're right. We have to check our tool stack at some point, because a few come to mind that are all bootstrapped actually, or at least are profitable, and they are focusing on this, because that's also, besides privacy, a trust measurement for the people. Even looking at companies like Evernote, where you thought they will never die, and then you see what can happen within a few years. So that's great to see this approach there. So one last question I would have there. How big is the team? Because size doesn't matter in this context, really. Literally, it doesn't matter as long as you have the right brains there. We are even worried when teams are growing very fast due to the venture capital they have there, and the investors, they are demanding that the team needs to grow. That's the most stupid thing that I think, that to me, it is not related to company growth. In fact, I think it's killing many companies just for that. And well, that's why I'm curious about how you see this?
Yeah, I totally agree. So right now we are around 20 people growing as well. But like you mentioned, we are trying to grow organically as well as leveraging capital whenever you need to, you know, invest in a big thing like, let's say, a product, let's say a subset of the roadmap or a marketing initiative. So we try to mix the best of both worlds.
Right. Well, that's good to know. And I expected after this interview, I already expected such an answer. Well, Dan, it was amazing having you with us, and we will stay in touch as usual. We are keen to see the developments of MeetGeek, and we will catch up next time then.
Thank you so much for inviting me. It was a pleasure to chat.
Thank you, Dan.
Absolutely. Bye-bye.